第七卷，挥笔成章。议论文十五句逻辑框架高分范文。
Environmental protection is one of the most important challenges almost every country is facing. However, whether only governments and big corporations have the resources and capabilities to preserve our environment is a controversial issue. My view is that every single citizen could also make a huge difference. Firstly, it is clear that human activities have had the greatest impact on the environment throughout history. Both environmental degradation and preservation are the long-term process, and no single government or big company can meet this challenge alone. So, whoever created the problem should solve it. Environment protection needs every one of us to continuously participate in. Moreover, the public's wills and behaviors have a critical influence on government policies and company strategies. For example, if everyone says no to plastic shopping bags and paper cups, the companies that manufacture such products will switch to environmentally friendly substitutes in order to survive in the market. That is not to say that governments and large companies cannot positively contribute. Indeed, governments can enact laws and introduce programs to raise the public's ecological footprint awareness. Companies can promote green products to change the public's consuming habits, but they also need every citizen's appreciation and support to bring good results. In summary, no effort is too small when we are protecting the environment. Meanwhile, local authorities and organizations must shoulder their responsibility to develop a low-carbon economy at the macro level. Only by doing so can we assure that we will hand this beautiful planet to our next generation and the next generation thereafter. Nowadays, an increasing number of people are concerned about animal protection and animal rights. However, whether we should utilize animals for human purposes has recently caused a heated debate. In my view, it is acceptable to reasonably use animals for the benefit of mankind and impossible to completely cut down humans' reliance on animals. It is clear that human beings are standing at the top of the food chain of this planet. As big fish eat smaller ones, mankind uses animals for its own benefit, which is consistent with natural law. So, it is hard to say that we are doing wrong by exploiting animals for our interests. Moreover, it is unrealistic to ban using animals, since the history of human civilization is entwined with the history of the ways we have learned to manipulate animal resources. We have raised cattle for food, the outcomes of animal experiments have saved many lives, and people have even kept pets to satisfy their psychological needs. If using animals were prohibited, we would firstly close thousands of KFC and McDonald's franchises around the world because they are slaughtering lovely chicken to make money. Moreover, everyone in this world would become a vegetarian. This is not to say that it is always right for people to use animals for any purpose whatsoever. Some people hunt wild animals just for fun. Others kill rare animals for their expensive furs. Indeed, these behaviors are not only cruel and unnecessary, but actually against long-term interests of human race. Humans should shoulder their responsibilities of maintaining the diversity of wild animals and the balance of the ecosystem. In summary, using animals rationally for the benefit of humans is justified. Meanwhile, some behaviors that are harmful to both animals and humans have to be prohibited. By doing so, we can ensure that our next generation will also benefit from animal resources. The application of new technologies is one of the most important ways of making millionaires such as Bill Gates. However, discussion now centers on whether the technology has also widened the gap between the rich and the poor. My view is that the improper distribution of social wealth, rather than an influx of modern technology, has caused such a social problem. Firstly, it is obvious that the responsibility falls on the government as the one most capable and likely to solve any social issue and ensure social equality. In order to bridge this wealth gap, the most effective and direct method should be taxation leverage, by which the government can use the rich people's tax money to subsidize the less fortunate. So, the technology should not become a scapegoat of this issue. Conversely, modern technologies indeed have provided great opportunities for the impoverished to go from rags to riches. For example, many people have become wealthy by setting up their own commercial websites on the internet. Compared with traditional companies that require large initial investment and higher operation cost, the internet is a cheaper and more accessible platform for ordinary people to make a fortune. Those who harbor the view that technology has polarized the distribution of wealth around the world believe that poor countries are getting poorer due to the lack of creative technologies. Of course, this is a real phenomenon. But paradoxically, the right solution for those nations is just to introduce advanced technologies to improve social productivity, which is like the age-old chicken or egg question. In summary, modern technology plays a key role in filling the gap between the rich and poor, not only for individuals, but for nations as well. In the era of knowledge-based economy, one who is diligent and can capitalize on this knowledge will eventually prevail. Poverty is one of the most detrimental problems faced by many developing countries. However, which type of international aid is most effective for them is a controversial issue. In my view, what they need most is not financial aid or loans, but advanced technologies and talents in certain key areas. It is obvious that modern technologies and scientific advancement are the driving force behind rich nations. High-tech products, innovations, and good management can greatly improve the productivity of a whole society. Hence, wealth is accumulated at a high speed. Therefore, to help the poor, we had better give them tools that can make a fortune. Moreover, developed countries can not only send teams of experts to poor nations to build roads, dams, factories, and other infrastructure, but also train talents and experts for them. Rich countries can provide scholarships or financial help to students from poorer regions, which some famous Western universities are actually doing. It is also a wiser way to deliver help. This is not to say that rich countries should not provide aid in form of money in any case. Of course, money definitely can help a country out of many urgent problems. But we have to make sure that international funds are spent where people really need it, rather than filling the pockets of local corrupt politicians. In summary, there are some other types of aid rich countries may choose to offer more efficiently. For example, providing advanced technologies and talents that can facilitate economic growth sustainably. From this sense, giving money to poor regions is not a direct aid, but an indirect form. Advertising is a powerful marketing tool that almost every company is utilizing. Discussion now centers on whether so many commercials have exerted more positive or negative influence on people's lives. My view is that everyone, as a customer, should have a balanced understanding of ads. Advertising bridges the demand and supply in the market. Business ads on TV, radio, and newspaper provide useful and valuable information about a product or service to target audiences, help them to compare qualities of different products, and choose the most cost-effective one. It is also an essential way for companies to promote their products, boost sales, make profits, and build brand images. Moreover, If ads are created to be memorable and thought-provoking, they can draw public's attention and change people's attitudes and behaviors as well. For example, governments often disseminate important messages to community through public service advertising. It can raise the public's awareness, ranging from road safety to public health, animal rights, and environmental protection, which is definitely beneficial to the whole of society. Yet, there is a dark side to this picture. Advertisements generally only claim a product's advantages, and the high cost of the ads is added to the product's retail price, which is ultimately borne by customers. In order to entice consumers to purchase an item, some ads are even exaggerated and misleading. And more offensively, some advertising agencies illegally collect our personal information, then keep sending promotional ads through annoying junk mail and text messages. In summary, advertising plays a vital role in this commercial world. It is a vivid and effective method of communication and facilitates business activity and economic growth. Meanwhile, government authorities should enforce stricter standards on the advertising industry to avoid false advertising and misrepresentation and protect the consumer's privacy and interests. The improvement of living standards is believed to have caused higher demand for fashion because people have much more money to afford it. However, there is a fear that people will lose their own individuality and never find what they really need. My view is that dressing up fashionably should be respected, and it is also correct to choose the clothes which people prefer for themselves. Being fashionable is healthy and brings some benefits to us. This is because seeking beauty and wanting to look good are part of human nature. When people start to wear stylish clothes like a superstar, they feel more confident and have higher self-esteem, which is of course helpful and even essential in some social and business occasions. Moreover, fashion is one element of popular culture. For example, South Korean fashion and TV dramas have been popular in other Asian countries for some time, and lately PSY's Gangnam Style has even swept the world, and many people imitate his horse-riding dance. Being in fashion and following idols makes people understand and become more involved in popular culture and feel up-to-date in this fast-changing world. This is not to say that everyone should be fashion-conscious. Certainly, it is a personal choice to put on comfortable clothes people are interested in. And since fashion changes over time, it would be better for people to pay more attention to something more meaningful in life, like pursuing knowledge, loving family, and cherishing friendship. In summary, fashion should be respected, and at the same time, people should have their own tastes of clothing style, rather than blindly following the so-called fashion. Sometimes plain clothes may mirror a person's inner peace. As global trade is becoming an irreversible trend, more and more people are concerned about its pros and cons. Some believe that it boosts economic development, while others point out that it is not an economical model because shipping costs and tariffs will result in nothing but a higher price of a product that consumers would have to pay, and fuel consumed during long-distance transportation will contaminate the environment. My view is that global trade brings us more good than harm. Clearly, global trade has created enormous job opportunities for many countries. In this world, some countries' economies depend heavily on exports, and in the meantime, other countries have to import raw materials or products such as oil, steel, and food from their neighbors. So, global trade benefits almost every country and allows the world economy to be stable and prosperous. Moreover, thanks to global trade, various imported goods have improved overall living standards. For example, we are driving cars manufactured in Germany, watching movies produced in Hollywood, eating salmon imported from Japan, and wearing clothes made in China. We cannot imagine what life would be like without such goods. It is also true that global trade has caused some problems. Of course, it may intensify commercial competition, and long-distance shipping has negative impacts on the environment. But even if we could ban international trade, these problems would still exist, because people may choose to travel abroad to purchase such products. In summary, global trade offers a win-win situation for both importing and exporting countries. Meanwhile, I believe, with the development of science and technology, we can eventually figure out some ways to offset the drawbacks it has caused. Nowadays, an increasing number of people are concerned about the effects which globalization exerts. Some believe that globalization surely benefits most countries in different fields, such as the economy, education, and politics. Others, however, insist that it is diluting national identities. In my view, globalization not only boosts economic development, but generally has positive effects on national identities. Business contacts around the world contribute a lot to development. Investments from multinational companies create many job opportunities for local residents, and as a result, improve their living standards. That is the reason why many developing countries enact policies to encourage international businesses and foreign investments. Moreover, with globalized communication, national cultures and identities are more easily expressed to the outside world and receive the respect and appreciation. For example, the animated film Kung Fu Panda, produced by Disney, has become a blockbuster hit in many countries recently. Since Kung Fu and the Panda are two uniquely Chinese elements, Chinese identity has been enhanced and has impressed many people around the world through this film. Those who harbor the view that cultural contacts may threaten national identities may argue that now the younger generations living in Shanghai eat hamburgers, drink coffee, work in skyscrapers, and even speak English often, adapting a lifestyle similar to that of their Western counterparts. But I think this is just a universal modern lifestyle, and to protect our national identity does not mean that every Chinese should drink tea every day or use chopsticks every meal. In fact, the essence in our value system, such as moderation mindset, still remains unchanged. In summary, increasing business and culture contacts does play an important role in a country's development. Meanwhile, a more prosperous economy facilitates the recognition and reservation of national culture and identity worldwide. Change occurs in every aspect of people's daily life, regardless of whether we want it to happen or not. Some people do not like changes, mainly because changes bring unfamiliarity, which means the possibility of making mistakes. Others, however, believe change is always a good thing. In my view, the majority of changes lead to positive results, and we should adapt and keep pace with them. Change, per se, is the only thing that never changes in the universe. Although we may avoid or deny some changes that could occur, we cannot stop the whole world from changing. So, it is wiser to face the reality, appreciate these changes, and try to make the most of them. Moreover, some changes like scientific innovations, technological inventions, and new academic theories are driving forces behind social progress. For example, modern information technology has already changed the world and the way people work, relax, communicate, and even receive education. It has also improved the productivity of many industries as well as our living standard. This is not to say that any changes end well. When we enjoy the benefits of changes, we sometimes lose more important things. Indeed, we have seen invaluable traditional culture fade away. Both people and animals have suffered from climate change, and we are trying our best to protect the environment and ecosystem from negative changes. In summary, most changes are an inevitable fact of life, and we had better develop an active attitude towards them. Meanwhile, though, we have to preserve what we believe is valuable.